Blog Talk Radio.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, by Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God.
glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Amen. God who is near. Thank you for being near as well as far off. I don't have to be anxious about the things I need because you are so close, you already know what I need. You stand at the door. You abide in my soul. Where can I go from your spirit? Thank you that I cannot flee from your presence. You are the God who is close to me, and I give you my gratitude for never abandoning me and never leaving me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. Great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Gives
strength where I've been weak.
Forever
he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say.
My God is awesome.
Come on, if you know he's awesome, say.
Awesome.
Come on and lift your voice.
Savior of the whole world.
Giver of salvation.
By his stripes,
I'm healed. My God is awesome.
Today I am forgiven.
His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Your voice is safe. Somebody ought to celebrate the arms of God.
You.
Amen. Praise be to God. Jesus, Jesus, that's who we call you. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name, Father. Thank you, Jesus. God who is near, may I know the grace of your presence by being aware of it. Will you cause things to happen in my life to help me recognize your newness, nearness? I want to live my life in the full awareness of you. I don't want to spend another day or waste another opportunity not experiencing you. The full and abundant life is found only in you. Show me your hand, your heart, your love. Give me a sign of your abiding closeness in my life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here to conduct our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible. So if you would like to join us, please dial in 319-527-6204. You can also call that same number for your prayer request. Amen. Praise be to God.
Well,
Amen. Praise be to God. It is now time for our devotional message. Amen. Which is entitled, Let My Love Enfold You. Praise be to God. And my scripture reading for this message is coming from Hebrews 13:15. And it says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Amen. Praise be to God. My second scripture reading is coming from 2 Corinthians 3:18. Sit down. And it says, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing joy, glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Amen. Praise be to God. And my third scripture reading is coming from Psalms 73:23-24. And it says, yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will take me into glory. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearing, to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. And again, my title of this devotional message is Let My Love Enfold You in the Radiance of My Glory. Sit still in the light of my presence and receive my peace. These quiet moments with me transcend time, accomplishing far more than you can imagine. Bring me the sacrifice of your time and watch to see how abundantly I bless you and your loved ones. Through the intimacy of our relationship, you are being transformed from the inside out. As you keep your focus on me, I form you into the one I desire you to be. Your part is to yield to my creative work in you, neither resisting it nor trying to speed it up. Enjoy the tempo of a God breathed life by letting me set the pace. Hold my hand in childlike trust, and the way before you will open up step by step. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it was to me. Amen. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, you are the Lord of lords and the King of kings, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Our heart is filled with gratitude toward today because you give us another day to live. Today we choose not to worry about the things we cannot control. We choose not to focus on our problems anymore. We will put our trust in you because we know you are the truth. You are true to the words and promises. In your mighty hands, we place our life and family because we know we are safe in you. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
Let me hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go. your hands and praise him now. He's worthy of the praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
God of loving kindness, you are compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. You do not harbor anger forever, nor do you treat me as my sins deserve or repay me according to my iniquities. As high as the heavens are above the earth, that is how great your love is for those who fear you. As far as the east is from the west, this is how far you have removed my transgressions from me. And as a father has compassion on his children, so you have compassion on those who fear you. I praise your name, God of loving kindness, for your kind loving kindness endures forever. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Oh, don't start.
Fill me up, God. To be home.
stands in the presence of the Lord. Every voice in this room, we have about another 15 seconds. I want you to open your mouth. We have sang for your glory. I will do anything. I wonder what type of praise you will give him until he releases his glory. Somebody raise up your hands and open your mouth now. Can I get somebody to cry out for God in this room? I'm only talking to those of you who are hungry for him. I'm only talking to those of you who are thirsty for him. Open up your mouth and begin to cry out for him.
Praise be to God. God of loving kindness, you are my stronghold and the God who shows me loving kindness. I confess I don't always look to you as my stronghold, but rather attempt to solve my problems on my own. Forgive me for neglecting to make you the focal point when I am facing trials or heartache. Forgive me for turning to other means for comfort instead of turning to your faithful kindness and goodness. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. While we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, I will play another selection. Praise be to God. Hallelujah.
And unto him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb that was slain, be all glory, honor, dominion, and power, forever and ever.
Hallelujah. is worthy of our praise. Begin to worship His name today. The angels and the 24 elders and the four living creatures bow before Him. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. And we, the children of God, today we say hallelujah to your name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And now it is time for our lesson today in Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson, and our very own Lady Nadine is going to come and conduct our lesson for this evening. Amen. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap. Praise to God be the glory.
Thank you.
God bless you. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Praise God.
Praise God.
Open us up in prayer because we missed the whole week. So.
But it wasn't our fault.
No, it wasn't. It really wasn't. You know, the devil is a liar.
Amen.
And God be the glory that everything is working today.
Yes.
So we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, for always being in control, Lord God. And Lord God, we know that you're in control of everything. So whatever the reason was, Lord God, that we weren't able to get on last week, we know you're in control of that too. And we thank you, Lord, because there had to be a reason why this was not to happen last week. Mm-hmm. But, Lord God, we thank you for this week, and we thank you that we can be on to these airwaves again, Lord God, to share your word and to spread your gospel, Lord God, with whoever has an ear to hear. Lord God, we welcome you into this class today, Lord God, and I pray that everything that I say and do shall be pleasing to you. And Lord God, make it clear, make the words that come out of my mouth clear, Lord God, so that your word can go forth and so that we can apply your word to our lives. I thank you, Lord God, for Evangelist Hilda, Lord God. She is always on time, always ready, Lord God, to have these airways open, Lord God, so that your word can get out. So give her a special blessing, Lord God, for her commitment, Lord God, for her love, Lord God, and just being who she is, a loving, kind person, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you again, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. And I receive that in Jesus' name.
Yes. So I'm going to start with the theme and the purpose because we've been a while since we heard this. And so the theme, and we're in 1 Corinthians. And the theme and purpose of 1 Corinthians is, which is, we know it's an epistle, and it was is the application of Christian principles on an individual and on a social level. The cross of Christ is a message that is designed to transform the lives of believers and make them different as people and as corporate bodies from the surrounding world. We are supposed to be different than the surrounding world. But the Corinthians were destroying their Christian testimony because of immorality and disunity. So Paul wrote this letter as a corrective response to the news of problems and disorders among the Corinthians. It was designed to refute improper attitudes and conduct and to promote a spirit of unity among the brethren in their relationship and worship. Paul's concern as their spiritual father was tempered with love, and he wanted to avoid visiting them with a rod. So he didn't want to come down on them. He wanted to do his correction in love.
Amen.
So the theme word for Corinthians is correction, because that is what the book of Corinthians it is about. It's about correction in love, not with a rod. And the key verses, if you can get Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, Elsa, and I will get 10, 12 and 13.
Okay, 19 and 20. And 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body." Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And 1 Corinthians 10:12-13 says, "If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptations to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure." So we always have to look for that way out that God provides when we become, in our sin. There's always a way out, and we have to remember that in our hearts and our minds when we see that temptation. Look for that door. Look for that way out, because the word promises, God promises to always give you a way out so that you can. These scriptures are so important. You know what it is? They're so important because they become reminders in your heart and your soul. Like when you remember them, you should be like, because I mean, a lot of scriptures I haven't memorized a lot of scriptures. Like how people can just quote scriptures off the top of their head. I haven't memorized scriptures. But I know it in my heart. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I can't tell you where it is. I'm not one of the people who can say, this says this or that says that.
Yes.
But I know. I know what the word of God says. I know it in my heart,
Yes.
And if I hear something that's totally wrong, I know what's wrong, too.
Amen.
So I thank God for that, but I think I'm getting a little bit better with the memorization. So I have to always have we have a memory verse that the kids have to memorize. So I'm trying to memorize it with them. I'm like, "Did y'all memorize that verse y'all supposed to memorize?"
And their brains are like little sponges, so it soaks up everything.
Yeah. We have probably doing Proverbs, is it 2 and 6? I think it's Proverbs 2 and 6, where it says, "Wisdom comes from God, and knowledge and understanding comes out of his mouth." So that's the scripture that they have to remember right now. And they're trying to play games with me. I told them, I said, next Saturday, everybody's going to recite that verse.
So you know they're going to be ready. Absolutely.
So, and so the key chapter is chapter 13. It's usually a chapter, and you're going to read the whole chapter, Hill, this week, but it's usually a chapter that is read at weddings, and often the text sermon, often the text for sermons. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 has won the hearts of people across the world as the best definition of love ever penned, standing in stark contrast to the idea that love is an emotion or that one can fall into love or fall out of love. This chapter clearly reveals that true love is primarily an action. This is why God so loved the world that he gave. So love is an action. I mean, true love is an action. It's not something that you fall into. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't fall. I mean, this is why when people are in, say, you know, or women or even men are in abusive relationships, mm-hmm. and they miscue that by love. Oh, he loves me. Oh, she loves me. That's why she loves me.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not love. That's not the action of love. That's the action of hate. Because love doesn't want to hurt you.
No, it doesn't.
Love is, that's the exact opposite of love, you know.
Yes.
When you're with somebody, try to hurt you and stuff like that. So let's read chapter 13.
Okay. Where it says, love is the greatest. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but did not love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but did not love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of doing wrong or being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endure through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Three things will last forever, and that's faith and love. And the greatest of these is love. Amen.
Right. Amen. So I wanted to look at verses 11 and 12. Because what is Paul saying about now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. When is that then?
What he's saying, like, okay, because before you were a child, you thought like a child, you act like a child. But as you became mature,
mm-hmm.
then you knew, you know, better. You knew right from wrong.
So he said, but yeah, he spoke about this. I get this. Yeah. So he said he already put away the childish thing. And he said, now we see things imperfectly, meaning all of us,
mm-hmm.
like puzzling in a mirror. But then it's to come. We will see everything with perfect clarity.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? So you think that just means that now that we're grown, we should be able to, you think that's talking about right and wrong. And it says, and all that I know now is partial. And this is Paul talking,
mm-hmm.
and incomplete. And we know that he knows the word. He has, so he said, all that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then, again, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. So again, what is that then? What does that then mean? So let's look it up.
Okay.
Unless you know.
No, I don't. That's what, because I thought that's what it meant.
Right,
but
right.
And you read it over, then you realize, you know, it's something else that he's talking about.
Yeah, it's definitely something else that he's talking about. Knowing it now and then. Let's see. Exodus. Exodus. I wrote this specifically in the verses 12.
12 and 11 and 12. Well, the commentary says. You found
okay.
It?
What does your commentary say?
Okay, 10 through 12 says when Paul wrote full understanding. He was referring to when we must see Christ face to face. Yes, when we see Christ face to face. And then he said, God gives believers spiritual gifts for their lives on earth in order to build up, serve, and strengthen fellow Christians. The spiritual gifts are for the church. In eternity, we will be made perfect and complete and will be in the very presence of God. We will no longer need the spiritual gifts, so they will come to an end. Then we will have a full understanding and appreciation for one another as unique expressions of God's infinite creativity. We will use our differences as a reason to praise God. Based on that perspective, let us treat each other with the same love and unity that we will one day share. So that's 10 and 12 and 13.
Ooh. Yes, what does it say?
And 13 says, Paul wrote that love endures forever. Immoral, corrupt, Corinne, love had become a mixed up term with little meaning. Today, people are still confused about love. Love is the greatest of all human qualities and is an attribute of God himself. 1 John 4:8. Love involves unselfish service to others. Faith is the foundation and content of God's message. Hope is the attitude and focus. Love is action. When faith and hope are in line, you are free to love completely because you understand how God loves. Does your faith fully express itself in loving others? That's a little more clearer.
Yeah.
And it's all, we can also find it in 1 John 4:8. We'll say the same thing, basically.
Oh, yeah. That was good.
Yeah. Sometimes I like to look at the commentary to see what they are saying. And
now, which commentary you look at?
Huh?
Where's the commentary at that you look at? Where is it?
In the New Living by the New Living translation. See,
uh-huh.
I have the Life Application Study Bible.
So with that,
it gives you the commentary.
Yeah.
You don't have to go and look in another book, in the commentary book to find it. It's right there underneath. So it kind of like break it down even a little more.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah, because this one was really clear. I like that. I'm going to have to get something like that. But this one says there, this one says, this is the Bible I have for 11. Verse 11, it says that there are stages of growth within the present imperfect time before Christ returns.
Mm-hmm.
After the church began, there was a period of immaturity during which spectacular gifts were needed for growth and authentication. With the completion of the New Testament and the growing maturity of the church, the need for such gifts disappear. And but yours said that when the need for such gifts disappear, what we have, when we come face to face with Christ.
With Christ, yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's the only way. That's the full understanding that he was referring to, when we must see Christ face to face. God gives believers spiritual gifts for their lives. So right now we are having spiritual gifts. So, you know, the gift of speaking in different tongues and, you know, all those different gifts. But when we come face to face with Christ, all of those gifts and things will be gone.
Right,
because that's when we supposed to come be just like him.
Yeah, yeah.
So we would need the gifts and things to live by. So because
we don't need them, because all we have to do is glorify God. That's what we have to do.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you. So Christ in 1 Corinthians, this book proclaims the relevance of Christ Jesus to every area of believers' life. He became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And these are the themes Paul addresses in his epistle.
Wow.
The contribution to the Bible. This epistle is extremely practical in its thrust. And it focuses on basic social, moral, and spiritual issues.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Romans, 1 Corinthians is not rhetorically elegant. It is plain, earnest, and unvarnished, the usual simplicity and directness of this letter is appropriate to the practical content. The sentences are uncomplicated, and Paul forcefully amplifies his thoughts with abundant literary devices, such as narratives, sarcasm, and appeal. Although it is informal, 1 Corinthians makes several important contributions to the New Testament doctrine. This is particularly true of the doctrine of the church as an organism. The role of spiritual gifts and the resurrection. So those are the doctrines of the church.
Yes.
No other epistle gives a better look at the problems and conditions in the apostolic church. Even though planted and nurtured by Paul himself, the church of Corinth bristled with social, ethical, and spiritual and doctrine problems, because people brought their problems with them into the church.
Yes.
This was a difficult letter for Paul to write, but his profound wisdom and insight dominated its pages and revealed the apostles' patience, love, and self-control. The wide variety of subjects discussed in this long epistle, only Romans is longer, is easy to follow because of its logical and orderly development. So now we're going to survey 1 Corinthians. Okay. Through the missionary efforts of Paul and others, the church has been established in Corinth. But Paul finds it difficult to keep Corinth out of the church. So what does that mean? He established the church in Corinth, but he found it difficult to keep Corinth out of the church.
Because they were still in their wicked ways.
Yes, they were still in their wicked ways. Corinthian ways.
Yes.
They brought all of that with them to the church.
Wasn't they still worshiping idols?
Yeah, they brought all that with them to the church.
Exactly. No wonder Paul found it hard.
Oh, yes, absolutely. The pagan lifestyle of Corinth exerts a profound influence upon the Christians in that corrupt city. Problems every kind plagued them. In this disciplinary letter, Paul is forced to exercise his apostolic authority as he deals firmly with problems of divisiveness, immorality, lawsuits, selfishness, abuse of the Lord's Supper and spiritual gifts and denials of the resurrection. But Corinthians, that church ain't no different from our churches today.
Exactly.
We got the same stuff in our churches going on. Same thing still going on.
That's why half of the people was happy that there was the pandemic so that they didn't have to go into the church with their evilness. They can stay home and criticize.
Yeah, right. Eat this with you at home.
Yeah.
Because, look, every time, that was one of the reasons why when I would go to church, I always sat all the way down front because I just wanted to focus on what was in front of me. Because one time I sat in the back, right, I was so distracted by people putting on makeup.
Yes, ma'am.
I remember sitting there, this woman had out her makeup case, and she's steady putting on makeup. Somebody mm-hmm. else, people talking. And I was so distracted.
That's how I was when I was going to this church in Brooklyn. Same uh-huh. thing. I could hear them in the back talking about the organist. And I'm saying in my mind, this is what you people get up out of your bed early in the morning to come and criticize the band and stuff in the church?
Oh, my goodness, yes. So much talking in the back seat.
The worst part The worst part of it was the one of the pastor's wife was the one that was, you know, sitting back there gossiping. I was like, really?
Oh, no. Yeah.
So I try not to sit in front of people like that. I'd rather just go ahead on down to the front of the church.
That's me. I sit right up in the front. All I can see is me and the pulpit.
Exactly.
You know, pulpit in front of me. But the people that sit up front usually too are quiet. You know, you don't see them chatting and doing all kind of stuff.
No,
I guess those are
people
who want to go to the front.
Yes.
Pay attention. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, but this church ain't no different from ours.
No,
so here's what to say. This epistle is quite orderly in its approach, as it sequentially addresses a group of problems that have come to Paul's attention.
Mm-hmm.
Paul also gives a series of perspectives on various questions and issues raised by the Corinthians in a letter. He uses the introductory phrases now concerning or now to delineate those topics. And I think we read that. We read all 7-1.
Yeah, we read all the scriptures. Yeah.
Yeah, we did. These three divisions of 1 Corinthians are the first one is the answer to Chloe's report of division, and those are chapters 1-4.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing was the answer to a report of fornication,
mm-hmm.
5-6, and answer to the letter of questions, which is chapters 7-16. So we know that the answer to Chloe's report of division, which is in chapters, we're not going to read all the chapters, but it was in chapters 1-4, where we had the personality cults centered around Paul, Apollos, and Peter had led to division and false pride among, which is chapter 1. I think we probably should be.
Chapter 1. 31 verses.
Yeah.
To read it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the greetings from Paul. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother, Sosthenes. Okay. They have some names in the Bible now. He says, I am writing to God's church in Corinth, you call it?
Yeah, Corinth.
To you who have been called by God to be his own holy people, He made you holy by means of Christ Jesus, just as he did for all people everywhere who called on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. I always thank my God for you and for the gracious gift he has given you. Now that you belong to Christ Jesus, through him, God has enriched your church in every way, with all of your eloquent words and all of your knowledge. This confirms that what I told you about Christ is true. Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now we go to the division in the church. I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no division in the church. Rather, be of one mind. United in thought and purpose. For some members of Chloe's household have told me about your quarrels. My dear brothers and sisters, some of you are saying, I am a follower of Paul. Others are saying, I follow Apollos, or I follow Peter, or I follow only Christ. Has Christ been divided into fractions? Was I, Paul, crucified for you? Were any of you baptized in the name of Paul? Of course not. I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gainas. For now no one can say they were baptized in my name. Oh, yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanus.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember baptizing anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the good news, and not with clear speech.
Clever
speech, for fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power. Mm-hmm. The wisdom of God, verse 18. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As the scripture says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intellect. Intelligence. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish, since God, in his wisdom, saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom. He has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans. And God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength.
Yes.
Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful or wealthy. When God called you, instead, God chose things the world considered foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. Amen. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important.
Ooh.
As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God.
That's right.
Has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to God.
Yeah. Wow.
Only God to boast about, not about man. Yeah.
So it's not their wisdom or cleverness that has brought them to Christ, because divine wisdom is contrary to human wisdom. The truth of the gospel is spiritually apprehended. So factions that exist among the saints in Corinth are indications of their spiritual immaturity. They should pride themselves in Christ, not in human leaders who are merely his, Christ's servants.
Amen.
Where it says, it is not their wisdom or cleverness that has brought them to Christ, because divine wisdom is contrary to human wisdom. The truth of the gospel is spiritually apprehended. And that is in chapter 2. And I guess after I read chapter 2, we'll close it up. Let me go to chapter 16. Okay.
We still at Chloe's report of the vision, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. Well, I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid, and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Yet when I am among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world, that belongs to this world, or the rulers of this world, who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God, his plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Oh, I love this verse.
Beautiful.
I love this verse. Oh, that's Corinthians 2, verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
That the scripture, that just means when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
They don't
Thank
know.
You, Lord.
Ooh, yes, indeed.
Ooh.
God be the glory. Mm. Paul,
but it
I love you, Paul.
Yes.
You did to Christians.
Yeah. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets.
Mm-hmm.
No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we don't use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit,
Amen.
Using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Paul knows how to put these words together.
No, yes. So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. For eyes have not seen, nor ears have heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Yes, indeed.
Amen.
Amen.
God
okay. Out.
Okay. Woo. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we love you so much. Thank you for loving on us. Thank you for opening
up
our minds to that we could hear, our ears to hear, our eyes to see. Thank you for all that you are doing and all that you're going to do, Lord God. Ooh, we love you, Lord God. We thank you for providing us for all of our needs. Thank you for just putting a roof over our heads, Lord God, and guiding us in the way that you would have us to go. And to thank you, God, for the wisdom to not follow what man say, but to follow you, the Holy Spirit, in the way that you guide us, Lord God. Thank you for Lord Jesus. We thank you for our families. We ask that you watch over each and every one of them, Lord God. Touch them in a mighty special way. Wrap your loving arms around each and every one, Lord God, and guide them where you would have them to go, Lord God. Heal those who need a healing, Lord God. Comfort the families of all of those that lost their loved ones over the weekend, Lord God. Let them know that they will see their loved ones again and on Judgment Day, Lord God. And we pray that you will touch them in a mighty special way. Guide them where you would have them to go, Lord God. Soften their hearts. Put a lot of love into their hearts. And do not let them to fester hatreds in them for their enemies, Lord God. You said to love our enemies, Lord God. Give them that strength, Lord, that courage to encourage them to love their enemies, Lord God, no matter what they have done, what they have taken away from them, Lord God. We thank you for life, for strength, health, wisdom, and understanding. We thank you for the word tonight. Thank you for our teacher, Lord God, that she is guiding us through the Bible step by step, Lord God, opening up our understanding, Lord God. We thank you. We praise you, Lord God, for sending her into our lives, Lord God. Touch her in a special way, Lord God. Heal her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord God. Wrap your loving arms around her, Lord God, and let her know that everything is going to be all right. We thank you. We love you, Lord God. We ask that you touch our pastor, touch his eyes, touch his body, Lord God. Heal him where he needs to be healed, Lord God. Guide him where you need him to go, Lord God. Thank you for sending him into our lives and opening up our hearts and minds to hear what thus says the Lord. Thank you for his teaching, Lord God. We love him. We love you. We love our Holy Spirit. We thank you for the Spirit that guides, that dwells inside of us to just give us the understanding of what you are trying to tell us or do in our lives, Lord God. Yes, we thank you for another day, another opportunity to praise your holy name. And we ask for all these blessings. But most of all, Lord God, we ask that you touch our very own mother, Apostle Mother Wiggins, Lord God. Heal her where she needs. Be healed, comfort her where she needs to be comforted, Lord God. Guide her where you would have her to go, Lord God. And we just love on her, praise her, and thank her for all that she has done to this nation, Lord God. We thank you again, Lord God. If we had 1,000 tongues, we couldn't thank you enough.
Thank you.
We love you.
Thank you, Lord.
In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Wow.
What a beautiful lesson. You know, like I tell Sister Barbara, that the first time we go through the lesson, you know, we hear and we don't hear. But when we go through it a second time, we hear things that we didn't hear in the first beginning.
Right.
But Paul really, really opened us up to this teaching tonight. And he said that is what scripture means when they say, no eyes have seen, no ears have heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him.
Woo!
He can better than that, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you for
the wisdom. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, so thank you for the lesson tonight. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
So uplifting.
Yeah.
So uplifting.
It was.
Yeah.
It really was. This is Paul's message of wisdom. And he really, really gave us this wisdom tonight.
Oh, yes, he did. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yes.
Yes, he did. Anyway, I'm cooking dinner right now.
Oh, well, I have to go and heat mine up.
Oh, at least you got to heat it. I got to cook it. I'm making meatballs. So that's
That's a quick meal
yeah.
to make. Well, I had stopped and got me some escabeche fish with cabbage and plantains.
Ooh, nice.
I'm being good. No rice.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of potatoes.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't understand this thing because one thing says I can have you know, pasta and stuff. And then the other one says, this is what I should eat, and I can have nuts and all kinds. And then I'm looking at it, yeah, they can say what they want to say, but they're not the ones that got to go through that pain.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm going to stick with the diet. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, my dear. So I love you. And say goodnight to Pastor and hope he feel better.
Will do.
Okay.
Well, did I tell you about Penny?
What happened to her?
She left the band. She's no longer with the band.
What? Are you kidding me?
Oh, my gosh. First of all, Robert said to her, I don't know what's wrong with Penny, but this time, Robert said to her, which makes sense, because Tony is not, you know, he put Tony out. I told you that.
Yes.
Yeah, put Tony out. Tony came here drunk. And anyway, he put Tony out. So Robert said to her, you know, on the show, when I'm singing lead, I need you to sing tenor. And because, you know, Penny can sing all parts. He said, when I'm singing lead, I need you to sing Tony's part.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you're singing lead, he will sing Tony's part, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he also said to her, when the other lady, Rose, when Rose is singing lead, I need you to sing alto. I'm a soprano.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm supposed to be singing soprano. Robert said, but right now I have Terry singing first soprano, you know, on everything. Rose is singing alto. So when we switch around, because she only has one solo, so it's only that one time that you got to sing alto. Why don't you make her, Rose, talking about Rose, why don't you make her sing Tony's part? He said, because I know you can do it. Rose just got here, so I need you to sing. And it's not, you know, it's only when I'm singing solo, just like, you know, honey, she said, I'm a soprano. I don't know why you doing me like that, why I have to switch up my thing. And, you know, so Robert was like, well, if you're not willing to do what I need you to do, because he's like, I'm all about the harmony, and I know you can do it. I'm a soprano, and I don't know why I got to be the one to switch my voice, you know, switch my voice, and, you know, I don't see why Rose can't do it. He said Rose has already switched. Rose sings soprano, but she was willing to sing alto, so Rose is doing alto. All
right.
He needs to do so when she's singing lead, but otherwise you're not the background singer. They are the background singers. When you're singing lead, they are the background singers.
Exactly.
You know, and I have to do Tony's, and I do Tony's part.
Right.
She was not hearing that. And Robert just said to her, he said, well, I'm going to tell you right now,
if you can't do what I need you to do, then what do I need you? Then I don't need you, Penny. I don't need you. If you can't do what I need you to do, I don't need you.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, I'm paying you. It's not like you're doing this for free. I am paying you.
Exactly. And it's not honey, like they're singing for God. They're singing for the
right.
money.
And she said, well, I'm not singing nobody else's. If I can't sing soprano, what I want to sing, then I'm leaving. So he said, well, go.
Okay, bye.
He goes, go.
Yeah, bye.
And she walked out,
mm-hmm.
and that was that. So, don't
so
know if Terry's gonna leave.
All of a sudden,
Terry and Penny.
So then, what
so
happened?
So Robin said, "Well, Terry, what
Terry
you gonna do?"
Too?
Well, he asked Terry. She said, "Terry, he's like Terry. What are you gonna do?" So Terry just said, "I have to go pray on it because this is not good. This is not good." But Terry said, "You know, she was like." You know, if Penny don't want to sing Tony's part, I'll sing Tony's part. And then Penny can sing the soprano. And Robin was just like, no. Like, but even though I said to Robin, he should have compromised. But
yeah.
He's like, I'm not compromising. I know Terry cannot do, you know, not do a good job doing
mm-hmm.
Tony's part. And Penny can. So he was dead set. He says, I'm not compromising. Now, you know what? And I stayed out of it. All that was going on in me, I'm like, let me mind my business. Because Robin, you know, she was just being just. He said, you acting like a diva. He said, but this is not that type of thing here.
Mm-hmm.
I need background. I need harmony in my background. So if
right.
you have to switch, like I have to switch up, then what are you making a big deal about? Because I'm a soprano. I'm a soprano. I'm supposed to sing soprano. She just kept going on and on and on. Anyway, my daughter's calling me a tear. So
okay.
Let me
all right.
I just wanted to fill you in. I wanted to fill you in on what was going on.
Yes. Thank you. I tell you. Yeah. But anyway, go ahead. Talk with your daughter, and we'll talk soon. Okay. So on that note, we are out. Praise God.